Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done for us. Lord, we come to your word so that you may touch us, empower us through it. In it, Lord, there is life and there is power. Your anointing, Lord, in it, may be manifested in this place today as we are going to it, that we may receive it, understand it, and put it to work in our life, in Jesus' name. Amen? And amen. All right. So, we have been talking about God's presence in us, the way Jesus prayed for his last prayer for us, and some of the implications of what he said, some of the things that he pointed out to us for us to receive and to believe for. And we had to really have the understanding of these things. Because without the understanding, we have no ability to receive. We need to be able to grasp, to believe at the heart level the things that you said so that we may experience them. See, we need to experience the reality of your presence in us and the power that that produces in our life and in our abilities to live the way you call us to live and to see manifested your promises in us. Okay. Okay. Now, one of the things that Jesus said that we mentioned last week was that we are not of the world, of this world. Okay. Understanding that is very important because we do not understand that, the implication, what does it mean, how is it going to be manifested, then we are going to stay the way we were before. And what he has to do is to open up to that reality. Okay? And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. Okay? This is very important. He talks about love has been perfected. Love is nothing else than is not what the world means generally. It's the attachment, the values, the priorities, the judgment that we have in our heart level. The things that we care about, the things that we value about. Okay? And he says, those things, our heart, that before we are born again is terribly wicked. And some weaknesses remain there because of our judgment are not all being readjusted, being realigned with the word. We need to work on that. But when our love is perfected, when our values, our judgment, are being perfected, that means we have spiritually developed. We have grown spiritually. Okay. Then what happens is that there's going to be a manifestation in us. Okay. And we have boldness. We are not anymore afraid of God. We are not anymore, fearful that he's going to do something that we don't like. We are going to receive from him. We are going to connect with him. We are going to trust him. When we trust him, then, something happens at an even deeper level. Okay? That we are starting to believe the way the judgment we have, the what we believe, start to be lining up with Jesus' judgment. And so we, because, you know, we are in this world like he was. Because as he is, so we are in this world. I mean, the feeling, the attitude, the position that he had is starting to become our position, our feelings, the way we feel about things. We don't look at the world anymore the way we looked at it before. That was the things I was interested in, and we were looking for. No, we start looking more to things that are heavenly, things that are not of this world. This is why we start thinking about everything like not the way the world people think. Okay, so that means, you know, that is a sign of our heart or our love. Love is where the heart is. Our heart is where the love is. Okay, so this is where our love is centered. When our heart is centered in not the world, but in heavenly things, like in God and all what he said to us and the word and everything else, what's going to happen? One of the things that we don't feel anymore connected to the world, but we feel connected to the Lord, connected to spiritual things. Okay, we feel not anymore attracted by worldly things. So we can see our level of development in the spirit by what attracts us, what attracts our desires, our attention, the way we feel. So even, you know, that can be a revelation if you want. Can reveal to us, to ourselves, where are we really positionally in our spiritual walk. You know, it comes to time when as we grow, we care less and less about what's going on in the world. We care less and less about what's happening because it doesn't affect us, because we are not part of it. You cannot be spiritually receiving from God in the flesh, because in the flesh we cannot please him, and the flesh is what keeps attached to the world. And this transformation happens naturally without us making any effort. It's not that we get religious. And when I talk about being religious, I mean that we are following the rules and the principle and the laws, and we are there ticking them off, making sure that we did them all. Well, doesn't work that way. That is Old Testament way. We are in the New Testament. And the New Testament works at a level that is completely different and works by faith, not by the law, and works because we connected with God and God has changed our heart, and because the closer we get to God and the more our heart is being going to be changed and the more we are going to manifest the character of Christ in us. Okay. And the transformation is effortless, is natural. And Jesus said it in John chapter 17. You know, he verbalized all the things that we can expect in that prayer. And we are getting through, you know, in detail all these things because we need to appreciate and we need to receive something that you don't know God wants to give to you. You have no faith for it. But when you know, then you can base, you know, can start trusting. If you trust God, then you are going to be able to connect. You know, Jesus trusted God completely. Now, we can too. John 17:14 says, "And I have given them your word." So he's talking to God, praying for us, and says, "You know, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world." So, you know, just two verses show that we are not of the world. So we are not anymore normal people. We are abnormal, if you want, or extraterrestrial. Because we are not of the world. We are heavenly being. Or we have been transformed in heavenly being. It doesn't appear like that yet, completely. But it's going to appear that completely when Jesus comes back. We are going to get a glorified body that is going to be extraterrestrial. Can walk through walls. Doesn't get sick. It never dies. You know, we don't die already. In our spirit and in our soul. But then even our body is not going to die. Doesn't even get sick. Doesn't have any pain. Now, we haven't advanced that because when we pray and people get healed, and today at least three received, you know, healing, it's an advance of what we are going to experience when he comes back. It's just, you know, a down payment for what we are going to get when he comes. Praise the Lord, but we can experience it. This is, God is so kind that wants to show us, you know, so that it's going to be easier for us to believe in him. As we can experience. This is why it's so important to experience God's power. It's so important to experience God's ability now, because that gives us the ability to believe and to receive and to move on in trusting him more and more. Okay, so as you know, just this is you know, Jesus himself saying it, that they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Okay. Do you receive that? I mean, you start feeling that way. I mean, I'm. You know, you can examine yourself. You can look at what the way you feel about it. You know, when you read scriptures, one of the things that you had to do all the time is not just reading and say, okay. No, you know, how do you respond to them? How do you feel about them? Because the way you feel about them, I mean, do you believe them? Do you trust them? Do you believe that you are experiencing that as the truth, or you are experiencing something that's so far away that you can't even connect with it? God wants you to connect with his word and to experience his word so that you are empowered by that experience. Because then you know that you know that you know. It's not a question of a logic thinking anymore. Are you still there? Amen. So, okay, you have to start looking at yourself at least a little bit. But it gets better and better as an heavenly being. Because you are born, if you are born again, you are born from God. You are born from I. You are not anymore a normal person. You are a heavenly being, connected with God. God dwells in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And he's not just there to take a ride. He's there to influence you, to empower you, to strengthen you, and to give you what? When Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. See, that life is not just theory, is not just a theological statement. That life is power. Praise the Lord. God's power. And he has done everything that needed to be done. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see, the seed is what produces the result. You don't need to be there telling the seed or doing things with the seed. You just plant it, and the plant grows right there and become big out of the strength that the seed has, that is connected with whatever, you know, needed to be connected. The word of God is connected with God, comes from God. In it has all the power that you need to manifest, to grow, to develop in you if you cultivate it, just the same as you cultivate any seed. So what's the thing that you have to do? The seeds determine the way the plant is going to be. If you plant the word of God inside you, the word of God is going to be produce a spiritual tree. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It brings forth its fruit in a season. And everything you do shall prosper. But you have to be there feeding the seed. And what do? You have to be there meditating on the word. As you meditate on the word, then you're going to manifest in your body, in your thinking, in everything you do, what the word has inside. And that's life, power, anointing, everything that Jesus said and that God provided for us as well. Okay. The word of God abides and lives forever. And that forever component is also for us. It works forever, and we acquire this, the eternal life that is in the word of God. Praise the Lord. You know, in 3 John 3:15 says, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. You know, and it's not just a question of eternal life, something that we are going to get when we die and go to heaven. If we die at all. If Jesus comes, maybe, you know, we don't need to die. Is life operating in us right now? Because if it doesn't operate right now, it's not going to operate later on also. We have to be born again. We have to believe in Jesus. And with that, we receive what we need to receive, everything that we need to have. Praise the Lord. Eternal life. Okay, Zoe, in Greek, is the life of God. God's life that he breathed into Adam at the beginning is back to us if we are born again. And we have to be transformed, empowered by that. It's not just a little prayer, a little verse and so on that we read like any other things. No. Is something that will be manifested in us, in which we have to become aware so that we can operate through that and in that, starting from the very moment when we are born again. And we grow into understanding, and as we grow into understanding, we grow in victory, we grow in transformation, and we transform by the word. Praise the Lord. Okay. What Jesus said in his prayer wasn't because he needed to pray to God about that. He prayed. That was his job from the very beginning. He prayed that way so before his disciples, so that they could hear it. So that by hearing it, they could understand it, and they could be in the place in which they knew. If we need to know, praise the Lord. Okay. in verse, you know, John 17, 2. Okay, says Jesus said it clearly for us also to know this. And you have given him, talking about himself, authority over all flesh. And he should give eternal life to any man, to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So you see, the idea is the purpose, the whole thing, this eternal life, what it is, that you may know you, know God, know the Father, and Jesus Christ, your Son. You know, and he's not talking about reading it in some book, on some article, or listening to somebody's preaching about him. That word there is gnosko, and gnosko means to experientially know. To have the experience is like, you know, a husband knows his wife and vice versa, and the word there is gnosko as well. There is unity, there is actually deep knowledge of one with another. And this is what we had to expect for us to know, to receive when we are born again, when we are coming into a on a relationship with God that is not just we pray to the heavens. God is inside us, talks to us, speaks to us. We know his voice and we can hear him. This is the normal Christian life, not the exceptional Christian life. And that was lost for centuries, but it's coming back stronger and stronger because Jesus is coming back. Because he's going to come back with for a church that is backslidden. He's coming down for the church, or at least the people that are not backslidden, but are in fire and are alive in him. Praise the Lord. See, that means, you know, that there is communication between us and the Father, between us and God, between us and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to guide us to receive the word, to put it to work in our life, and to apply, to have victory, the way Jesus said. Because the same power that Jesus had when he was raised from the dead is in the word. You know, now, you know, saying that comes to make us think, well, do we really believe that? Are we really experiencing that knowing or experiencing experiential knowledge? The word is power. The word is spirit, and they are life. They contain the words. God's words contain eternal life to be communicated to us. They are the seed, the spiritual seed that is planted inside us, that God wants to grow in us. But you know, it doesn't grow by itself. It grows as we open up to that truth and we start seeking that connection, that relationship. You know, you cannot have a relationship with somebody else if you don't do your part. All relationships involve two people. One responding to the other. And this is the same way with God. God is just like us. We are like God. He made us in his image. We operate in many ways the same God operates. And we have to learn to, you know, establish that connection so that we can receive what God wants to communicate to us, so that we can grow the way he can do. So, the bottom line, is that now, okay, we are spiritually reborn. Born in the spiritual dimension. We should, you know, the spiritual dimension should become more important than the physical dimension. Because when that happens, we are going to start operating like Jesus did. Because when that happens, we are going to experience, we are to connect with God, we are going to live on a completely different level. Now, the Bible talks about this all the time. For example, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven. It means, you know, not Canadian anymore, you are not English anymore, in England from you, we are not, you know, not from the U.S., we are from heaven. That's what the Bible says. That has to be our first priority. Okay, our citizen is, you know, actually, it's even more than that. We are extraterrestrial. We are from the spiritual dimension. We are connected. See, we are, the way we live, we have been built in such a way that we should be able to live in both dimensions. Because if we don't live in the spiritual dimension, we cannot connect with God. This is why God, since John chapter 4, 20, you know, says there that he wants, you know, those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And you cannot worship in spirit and in truth if you are not in the spiritual dimension. So your spirit is already in the spirit, in the spiritual dimension, but you want to be in the spiritual dimension with God. And that's what he did with his word. Okay, so God, you know, our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is really, what is our attitude concerning Jesus come? Are we eagerly waiting? I mean, are we there and we want him to come back and say, you know, why don't you hurry up? I mean, that should be our attitude. That should be our feeling. Well, you know, but there are so many things down here. Forget about those things. They are nothing compared to what he's going to bring us. They are nothing. Okay. We should start looking at ourselves as heavenly beings, the way Jesus did. Okay. And that transformation is natural and is nothing else, okay, that the result of being in the Word. Because the Word is the spiritual seed that is planted inside us and makes us grow into that dimension. You cannot grow spiritually without the Word. You can even pray, but you don't get in the Word. Doesn't do anything. Everybody, all religions pray, but they cannot grow spiritually because they don't have this connect with the Spirit of God. Now, the thing is, we are not completely there, but we are moving to there. We are preparing ourselves to be there, because when Jesus come, in a twinkling of an eye, that transformation is going to be completed for those who are ready. That's why, you know, we better know that and get ready for it. Because we don't know, could be tomorrow morning, could be just in a few minutes, maybe I'm speaking, the whole thing happens. And you will notice the difference. Okay. Praise the Lord. See, what happens, the following verse says, let me finish, you know, eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who will transform our lowly body, okay, that we may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So you see, that transformation is the transformation that takes place even in our physical body, not just our heart and our mind, in our spirit as we renew our mind. But even in our physical body, when he's going to come back and he's going to be transformed like his glorious body. Hallelujah. Okay. Our body is just pretty amazing already. Especially if we look after it properly. Okay. God, the word says that we are wonderfully made, fearfully made, you know, wonderfully made. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unless we mess around with it, you know, it's amazing the way it works. All they studied and studied, they don't understand a thing about it yet. Okay. But the thing is, the idea is that, you know, we are going to get all the supernatural power that we need as we are going to be transformed, even in the physical. And now we can experience already something as we can see miracles taking place as we pray for people. Are you following me? Okay. So you say, well, what are you sticking around for? I mean, if what up there is so much better than down here, and all the limitations are gone, and we are already connected there, I mean, why don't we pick up and go? Well, no, that's not the way God wants it. Because we are here for a purpose. We are here for a mission. We have to understand that. Okay, and Jesus said very clearly that. In the following verse, you know, I read before John 17, 15, 14, I'm going to read 15 now. He said, I do not pray that that you should take them out of the world. So you see, we are already spiritual being. We have been transformed into spiritual being. We should operate on a spiritual level. Okay. But says, you know, I'm not praying that you take them out. But because you know his will. But he wasn't praying, you know, because God knew it to know. It's because he wanted his disciples to know. Okay. But that you should keep them from the evil one. Praise the Lord. I mean, lots of believers go around afraid of the devil, go around, you know, thinking, you know, about all the problems and all the fear, completely fearful about stuff. And Jesus said here, that you should keep them from the evil one. I mean, he was praying for protection for us. That we may know that we are protected. That they would know that they are protected. Well, it didn't do too much good to them because just the following day, they were running away terrified. Why? Because the Spirit is not come yet. But when the Spirit came on them, and they had the Holy Spirit inside them. What happened? The terrification, the terror, the fear, the concern, the worries just disappeared. They just went forever. We can see just when the Holy Spirit came, they just preached this in the temple there in front of 2,000, 3,000 people get saved. All the fear was gone. Why? Because they knew and the word that Jesus had started operating and being activated by the Spirit inside them. And so they start experiencing what the word would bring to them. You know, non-believers read the word and that's zilch to them. Nothing. If you believe, believers should be different. If you believe what you read and you start seeing it in yourself, that should change the way you feel completely about those things that you read. Are you with me? You see, that's an indication, that's a manifestation of really where we are spiritually, and if we really believe what we are reading, or we are just agreeing mentally with it. Just the mental agreement doesn't do it because the heart is not involved, where the spirit is not involved, because the spirit is cut off by the heart. this as unbelief, as wrong judgments in them, wrong beliefs. Are you still following me? Okay. Jesus wants you to stay, knowing that you are protected, knowing that you have to do something here, that you have a mission, a ministry, and it's his ministry that you are carrying out today. Doesn't matter, it's not that you know, it's the same for every believer. Doesn't mean that you have to be a minister, a pastor, or something like that. Everyone who believes is called to minister in this world as a function in God's plan. And you have to discover that. And Jesus has equipped you, and he keeps you here, and he's praying for you so that you are operating and achieving the purpose that God has given you on this earth. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, the word covetousness, I really think, is poorly translated. He's not just talking about money there. He's talking about desiring something that you don't have. You know, being needy. God doesn't like needy people because he is the provider of everything. And the only thing we have to do is see what he has provided and thank him for that. And he's going to take care of that. Okay. You just, you know, not about money, but anything. Even feeling of inadequate doesn't please God. Just see what happened with the children of Israel in you know, Psalm 78. There they were talking about, you know, they limited one, the Holy One of Israel. How did they do? You know, he put us in the desert. We don't have any water here. We don't have, you know, we are in the desert. Why didn't he leave us in Egypt? After all the miracles that God did, all the miracles that we can see today, all the experience we can have today with God, we have to start thinking right. And to start allowing the truth to rule our life. And the truth is the Word. Okay. So, for himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, that means, you know, that God is with us. The only way for him not to be there is because we left him. Because we are close to his direction. He is there with us to guide us, to empower us, to take care of us. There is no reason for us to be afraid of anything. We should be content instead. Content that we know that he is with us. Content that we know that he has provided for us. Content that we know that we are protected. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. And so goes on to say, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what can men do unto me. You know, it's not just what men do unto me. Anything. But the devil can try to do unto me, because he cannot do anything on you that you don't let him. He doesn't have any authority over you. And you had to learn to do that, to take a position. See, you had to take a position in Christ. If you don't take a position, you are there, tossed around by the event, the situation, what happened in the world, listen to the news, and the only thing is bad news. What you had to start doing is taking a position on what you have in Christ. And bring that reality to you to the point that you believe it and you start living according to those ideas. That's what changes everything in the life of a believer. Okay. That makes the difference. That what separates carnal babies from real believers or mature believers. Okay. You have courage, boldness before God, knowing that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Okay? That setting is really what Paul talks about. Set your mind on things above, not on things below. Because the carnal mind cannot please God. So we have to start thinking that way. Okay? Are you, you know, it's a choice we make. It's a position we take. You know, do you want to be like David or like his brothers? That when the Goliath was screaming there, you know, were afraid and running away. Instead, what they gave it, he went around to this uncircumcised palace, you know, Philistine. You know, what does he think to do against the children of God? And he beat them up. Are you going to be like, Joshua and Caleb? Or like the other spies? They said, you know, I cannot do that. We're like the grasshoppers. And they said instead, we can certainly do it. You see, that attitude is taking a stand, is taking a position in Christ. It's not just a religious thing. It's a question of courage. You know, with God, with Joshua, you know, the word says to him, you know, be courageous, strong and courageous about this. In Joshua 1:8. See, that's when we take a position. That's when the enemy cannot do anything to us. That's when we can have victory over him. Hallelujah. You can certainly do it. You can say that with Caleb. Let's say it together. We can certainly do it. That's pretty weak. Can we put some more energy in it?
We can certainly do it.
Oh, that sounds a bit better. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, don't just say that here when I tell you to say it. It's when the temptation comes and says, huh, I can do that. When my word says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthen me. So that's what you had to say when the thought, the temptation comes to you to be afraid, to be insecure, to be unable. You say, no, I can certainly do it because I can do all things in Christ who strengthen me. Amen. And you stand there. And if you stand there, you resist the devil. And what he's going to do? Flee. Can't stick around too long. Okay. We can do all things in Christ who strengthen us. Stop looking at your limitations. Stop, you know, looking at your, past. Look at Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. It's the way he did it. You know, how do you look at Jesus, author and finisher? You're not just quoting the scripture, but just meditating on the word. He gave us the word that he operated in. He was the word made flesh. That's what you had to become. And you become that by meditating on the word, by believing the word, by agreeing with the word, by repeating yourself the word, and by making it real to you. I've been talking about meditation the last 2-3 weeks on our Thursday night Zoom meeting. Okay, that's so critical and so important for us to get victory. This is the way Jesus did it. That's the way football did it. That's the way Psalm 1 explained to you. That's why Joshua was told to do. It's everywhere in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Don't fear. Fear should be a thing of the past for believers. You have to reject fear to be inside you. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Power, love, and a sound mind. That means, you know, that's the way we should do. Fear is from the devil. That doesn't mean to be stupid and go in front of a car. Okay, that's no fear, that is idiocy. Okay, what you need to know is to understand and take action, but then, you know, if you see a car going on the street, you are not afraid. Okay, now, all right, well, we covered enough to what I wanted to say. We should be content on what we have. We know that we are protected. We have to know that we are protected. Okay. Jesus, you know, even from the devil. You know, Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy. And nothing," can you say nothing?
Nothing
shall be an enemy and hurt you. That means, he's talking about demons here, evidently, because, what are scorpions and serpents? It's just a physical representation of demons. Now, why Jesus came up with this statement, teaching then the apostles, the disciples, to do the right thing, to be in the right attitude and the right position? Well, it just took it out of Psalm 91. If you meditate on Psalm 91, you have everything you need to not be afraid. You know, Psalm 91, verse 9. "Because you made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation," or your dwelling place. Okay? That's the starting point. See, that's when we are assured we are in the right place. "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." I mean, if you believe in that scripture, you are not going to be afraid of COVID-19 and even 21. Hello? You are not going to be afraid of the impact that, maybe the shot that you got is going to have on you. If you are afraid of those things, you just let the devil push you around. It says very clearly here, you know, "Ye shall, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." I mean, that's the position you had to take. The Bible says that. By being afraid, you certainly are not going to protect yourself. Jesus is protecting you because he said he would. He prayed for you, and you do think that Jesus' prayer are answered. Now, so we have to believe that. "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Hallelujah. "They shall, with their hand, they shall lift, bear you up," or "lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Now, this was applied to Jesus, but it's not applied to Jesus. Psalm 91 is for everybody. Hello? Are you still there?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Then goes on, and go more into the what they've said here. You know, "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." He's talking about demonic power here. Okay. So he's saying, you don't be afraid of demon, but don't be afraid of demon if you are made the Lord your refuge. If you are staying with the Lord, you are connected to the Lord. If you are not connected to the Lord, that doesn't apply to you.
Amen.
So the idea, you know, typical example, the son of Sheba, you know, that there were, you know, Jews at the time of Paul, you know, going around trying to cast out demons from others. They were beaten up. They had to run away, lost even their clothes to run away. Okay? So it's not the fact that you say, well, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, And the devil says, you know, Jesus, I know, but I don't know you. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? Do not fear rob you of the authority you have and the power you have. You have to eradicate it from you in all the areas and know that instead you have God inside you. God, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is inside you to empower you, to direct you, to protect you, to do everything that you need if you give him a chance. And with that, I think we should close for today. Amen. Long life satisfy you. Amen? All right. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. I receive it in my heart. I will not fear. I will be bold like a lion. I do not run off. I make the enemy fly. Thank you that you empowered me when you came unto me, when I became not of this world, but of the heavenly kingdom. I am your child. I'm a child of God. And I recognize everything that Jesus has achieved for me on the cross. And I receive it. I believe it. And I walk by it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For your Lord, everything that I need, I receive in you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.